Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 179 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here, and how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good
I'm
stuff.
Really excited.
Really? Why are you really excited?
Yes, I had a new addition to the family last week.
Okay, right, straight into this one. What? I know nothing of this. Explain more.
I had my piano. I've been after one for absolutely ages, and I finally
it's
got
just
it
something
last week.
To dust, though, isn't it? You can't play.
We've all had a right tinkle on it, all of us.
Any tunes come out of it yet or not?
Oh, yeah, I can play. What can I
Chopsticks,
play?
Chopsticks, probably.
No. London's Burning.
Okay.
Jingle Bells.
Grade 8 stuff here we're talking. This is good.
Oranges and Lemons.
Okay.
Two-fingered.
Mm-hmm. Impressive.
Both hands.
Same way as you type.
I'm quite a quick typer, I have you
I don't believe that again either. It's probably the accuracy levels are low. So, we didn't do a show last week because I was in Singapore. And although we had some stuff recorded, we had technical difficulties.
We did indeed.
So we will be introducing you to some of the stuff we recorded last week. We'll be hearing from Rose Cook about her latest DVD, which is available. And also John Hendley's telling us about his brand new book. That's a little bit later on. In the studio, now if I can remember which two microphones we have them on, we have Steve, Jack and Paul Goodrum. Hello.
Hello.
You're right.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Very good.
Okay, so sort of half the remnants.
Half, yes.
So is that the remnants of the remnants?
Just
or
remnants. Just remnants.
Just, yeah. So it's a bit of the band. Yes, and you'll be doing some of your tunes, which you've got on your brand new album.
We will.
And we'll be hearing that in a bit. And also talking pottery as well, aren't
pottery,
we, Paul?
Yes, talking pottery.
Selling pottery, because it's Christmas. And we got flyers and leaflets and all sorts.
Oh, so they're very good, I must admit.
That's I know, I've been there. It is very good. We will talk more about that in a bit. First of all, though, we go to the phones, where we find a man who is looking for extras. Jason Ash, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. So what's going on?
We've got a major Bollywood film being produced in Birmingham right at the moment in Gatecrasher.
Yeah.
And we're looking for as many extras as we can possible. You know, we're looking at between 500 and 700.
Wow.
So it's massive, absolutely massive.
I suppose you need to fill the nightclub, don't
we
you?
We do, yes.
So, but this has been ongoing for a few weeks now, because this is we're halfway through the project at the moment.
Yeah, and with 92 days in, it's been very tiring, but a lot of fun.
Because last time we spoke, we were talking about Clampers,
yes,
and
that's, right.
That's sort of ongoing, and that we'll see more of that next year, I'm sure.
You will, yes.
But, so tell us a bit about this Bollywood film. What's give us a bit of the plot, not that you can give too much away. But.
Yeah, it's an action comedy, and it's a sequel to Yamla Pagla Dwara, which came out last year, and it's got basically all the top Bollywood stars in it. It's an array of... there's ninjas in it, you know, you've got this nightclub scenes where there's all dancers and everything. It's just absolutely phenomenal. It's brilliant.
Can I just check what my English version of that is? Is it bad?
It's badder and baddest.
Baddest, yes.
That's the one. You've done research there.
No, this is unusual for Zoe, but I'll give you that. I know her Hindi is particularly poor, so it's got to be research. So how did you get involved in this one then? Did you work on the original?
Actually a friend of mine, he's the stunt coordinator, about two. And he obviously knows that, you know, I'm in the business. He choreographed Clampers for us, and also To the End of the Road, which comes out December the 17th. So he's contacted me saying, Jay, you know, this is coming up. Do you want to jump on board and give us a hand? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Bit of another Bollywood, because I did Tez last year. And I thought, let's have another go at this. And went down, met the producer. And it's just, we were, you know, initially they only wanted 10 people a day, and then it just started building up. And within about a week, it went up to a lot of people.
I was going to say, my son actually went on last Friday, and he really enjoyed it.
he was one of our ninjas.
Yeah, he loved it, I must admit.
it's been such an experience. Like, I've been on quite a few productions, and I've never had one like this. You know, it's the comedy.
You've even done a bit of it yourself as well, haven't you? I've seen
I did,
some
I was
pictures
a ninja
on
for 2 days, yes. I did, because obviously, you know, I do what I expect. I do the same as what everybody, you know, I expect everybody else to do. And if you don't know the job, you've got to learn it, haven't you?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I absolutely loved it. You know, and some of the things, you know, you've got this little, we had these little tomahawk things, they're called something else, but I can't remember what they're called, but there's pieces of wood with a little stick on the end, and you're pretending to attack, you know, attack people, and you don't really move.
Isn't that a nunchuck?
It's not a nunchuck, no. That's the one with the chain on.
Oh, is it? Ah, yeah. Right. Okay.
But, I'm going to probably get in trouble with Bear because I forgot the name again. I think he told me about 30 times what they were called because I kept saying, everybody got your sticks.
And, wave your sticks in the air, yeah, like you just don't care.
Because they're all martial arts. Because they had 30 top French martial arts experts over. Peter Hay, who is the most famous martial arts coordinator, was there. So, you know, it's just been so much fun.
Mm. I can't remember what the chap's name is, but you've got somebody that was in Bend It Like Beckham. Is it one of the actors from that? He's one of the main characters, isn't
yes,
he?
That's right. Yeah. It's Demira, but his name is... I'm terrible with the names, I really am. But, yeah, he's basically, over the last few years, since Bend It Like Beckham and that, he's gone really big in the Bollywood theme. And everybody loves him. It's weird. He started the nightclub scenes on Sunday, and it was just the people, the atmosphere was just electric because they were so looking forward to seeing him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's the first time since that he's been in the UK, and the girl, you know, there's a girl as well. I can't think of her name either. I'm really sorry. But if you go to the, obviously, if you put the name in,
you can name all of the extras, but you can't name any of the main stars.
I can tell you all by name, but obviously, you know, the stars. You have to look on the website. But like I said, I'm looking at the minute. I need for all this till the end of the week. I'm looking at 500 extras a day. I've been looking, you know, speaking to the unis and that, trying to get the uni students down to experience it because you're not going to see a film like this again for a few years. It's a massive budget.
So this is the Midlands equivalent of Ben Hur, I take it at the moment.
Yeah, it's like there was a couple of months ago. I did a film called Rush, which is coming out the early part of next year, and that was a 100 million blockbuster. And it's on the same type of levels as that, so you can imagine how big it is. So everything's extravagant.
So
you do get paid as well.
Yeah, there is money in this.
Being a Bollywood, it's a lot different to normal. But we give £45 for the day, and they get food all through the day. And it's more of the experience than anything else.
Mm-hmm. It's so a chance to say you were in a film, which is pretty good, isn't it? To be fair.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, and I went since I've been there. I've now took I'm floor manager there as well, so I'm absolutely enjoying every minute of it.
Brilliant. Yeah. So this is released on Tuesday, the 27th of November, 2012. In case you're listening to this sometime in the future, and you're looking for extras pretty much from now right the way through until this Friday.
That's right, in Birmingham, and then obviously we go back then to they go back to Leicester for just over a week.
So if you're listening in Leicester, please get in touch with Jason. So what are the details if people want to get in touch?
Yeah, they've got to be over the age of 18. Obviously, that's the way they like to work it because, you know...
Well, if you're in a nightclub, you should be over 18 anyway.
Exactly, yes.
So that's how it works. Yep, yes, okay, that's good.
You did that one for me very well then. That right for me. We're going to wear a smart dress as if you'd be going to... it's like a gay crusher. You know, if you was going to Gay Crusher on a night out on Broad Street, that's what you'd wear. And also, we've got an exclusive scene where it's basically glamorous and the men are very dapper suited, you know, put your best clothes. And the women, there's some absolutely beautiful women. So for the lads, it's great.
It'll be a chance for me to pick up as well.
I will say, coming till Friday, I've got a lot of army lads. They're coming tomorrow. So, girls, you're also all right if you want to.
So, basically, it's a film and you might cop off with somebody,
but
is what you're saying.
Basically it, yeah.
And you're fed and watered as well.
Yes, and you get to dance.
And you get your bus fare as well.
It's your bus fare. It's the experience.
It sounds very, very interesting. What age group are you looking for?
We're looking between 18 and 35.
So as long as they're not too over the hill.
I couldn't fit in that category, Jason. Well, you
couldn't fit in your party dress anymore, so that doesn't matter.
Well, they keep ticking me off set when they go to take, so I'm not allowed in it either. But it's such a good fun. And, I've really, really enjoyed the last few days down in Birmingham, because the people have been great, and also, Zoe's son's been fantastic.
He's the talented one in the family, I take it.
Yes, for his ninja skills. He's fantastic.
He does like being a ninja, to be fair.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's had plenty of practice.
I don't think I want to know any more on that one, but there we go. So, contact details are?
Yeah, all they've got to do is contact j.k.management@hotmail.co.uk, or they can contact us direct on our mobile line, which is 07427 076 016.
Okay, so j.k.management@hotmail.co.uk or 07427 076 016.
Yeah, and we've also got a website which they can go on, which is called castingandextras.co.uk, and they can register on there and they'll see all the posts. It'll give you all the information of what they they need to be doing
and the call time and stuff like that.
Yes, it tells you, notify every day on there. We also notify on Facebook and on Twitter. So there's many ways you can find out. Obviously, if it's late when they hear this, broadcast, and they think, oh, I can't wait, they won't need time, just turn up. Now, if you're coming down, you've got to obviously come down between 9 and 9.30, in the morning, and you need to bring with you either a birth certificate or passport, national insurance number and your bank details, so we can obviously pay into your bank.
So you have to be fully registered to be able to do all of that?
Yeah, you do, yes, obviously, because we have to pay the NI, the employer's NI.
Yeah.
So
it's all legal and above board, that's what counts.
It is, yes. Well, obviously, they're responsible for their own tax and NI, but, it's basically, we're giving it to them for coming and having a fantastic time.
It's just a party, that's what it is, isn't it?
Yes, basically it is. And it's like I said, there's food all day, there's refreshments, there's always tea, coffee, water, so there's plenty for everybody, and it's a fantastic time. 500 people minimum is a lot of people.
Yeah. Yes.
And at the minute we did well. Like I say, yesterday I think we had 480 in there yesterday in the bottom end, and we had 300 free people in the top. Because we were giving tickets away on the first day with T-shirts, because obviously, they're being the stars, and we wanted Birmingham and the surrounding area to enjoy, have an experience. That's what we did, but obviously, all the rest now are given these £45. It's like also a thank you, for helping out. Now, there is, in Birmingham, they're here till Friday. So if, they want to come down, most call times are 9.30, but obviously it could change depending on the scene issues of the day before. So, they have to be aware of that. So
keep checking the website is the answer to that.
Just keep checking, yeah. Mm.
Well, Jason, it sounds absolutely fantastic fun you're having down there. So
It is, and I do say, I'm not just saying it just to be saying it. You've just got to come and Zoe's son will tell you.
Yeah, as I say, he had a really, really good time and he can't wait to come back.
So
yeah.
He's getting all dressed up and he's going to be down
there.
Definitely. He's trying to persuade his girlfriend to go with him, but she's she's not having any of it at the minute.
So what is the name of the new film? Because we've already heard the name of the original.
Number 2.
That is just the 2 on the end.
Just put the 2 on the end.
Wait, when's it out? I know it's next year.
I think it's coming out June 2013.
Oh. I'll keep us posted and we'll talk about that close to the time, I think, as well.
Oh, yes, definitely. We've also, I don't know whether I mentioned him last time, we've got a management team, and I've got to plug him because he's going to be phenomenal, and his debut release is December the 3rd, and that's Coleman. He's a hip-hop rapper, but we've commercialised him. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be so big, Universal looking at him, and just, you'll hear it anyway, December the 3rd. And you can have him in your studio if you want one of those.
We will sort that out the week after, I think. So that would be really good. We'll talk about that off air.
Okay.
But meanwhile, Jason, thanks for joining us and continue to enjoy yourself dancing around to some Bollywood classics and drum.
I certainly will.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Okay.
Cheers. Ta-ra for now.
Ta-ra.
So to our band, we have live in the studio, Half the Remnants, and I have to stop saying the, because it's just Remnants, but it's difficult to say without a the at the front. I know what it is, but that doesn't make it any simpler. So...
Two Remnants.
Yes. Some offcuts. Stephen Paul. So, you're here, you've got a brand new album. Is this the third album, I think, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, the first
one was a bit of a tester, really.
Yeah. And we'd got back together again after many years. Because we met when we were at art college. We were about 18 when we met. 19 when we met. Uh-huh. Steve was on graphics. No, won't say what year. Long time ago. And Steve was on graphics and I was on design at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I was on foundation course things. Yeah. And we were up here at Wolverhampton. And Steve's from Newcastle. And as you probably know,
Britain,
subtle hint.
Yeah, and so we were in a band called Gasoline, and we did the college circuit. We were kind of augmenting our grants. We got grants in those days.
Back in the day, lump of money. I had a grant as well. Yeah, I did 1 year, but I did have a grant.
I think I was the last year of the grants.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, everybody queued up. In Stafford Street in the old College of Technology, which is part of the poly and then the university.
Mm-hmm.
And we all used to kind of line up for the grants.
Wait for your check and then spend it in half a day.
Yeah.
That's the way it worked. So we'll carry on talking about where the album's come from after you've heard one of the tunes from it. And we have, a 9-track album?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, now, we're only going to hear 4 of them today.
You are. Yeah.
And what have you got for us first?
Well, the first one's Top of the Hill.
And so it's the first track on the album as well.
It is, yeah. We thought we'd kind of drop that one in first, kind of loosen us up a bit.
And what's this one about?
It's actually, it's loosely about bankers. It's not all about bankers. It's all about that the times that we're in now and how difficult it is with austerity and what have you. So it's a little bit of all things. It's about getting up there and coming back down again and... You know, the difficulties in life as it is now.
So. Well, let's take a listen.
Ah, okay.
Over to you guys.
Okay. Business is business. I hope you'd see. Got nothing against you. We can take it easy, or we can do it hard. Repossess your house, I'm gonna confiscate your car. I'm gonna hide in my kitchen from the man at the door. With my head in my hands, I feel the bells hit the floor. Now my job has been taken by men from the east, and I know what they're saying, that I am what I eat. I was openly mobile, life's a ring and tell. There's only one way down from the top of a hill. Well, I'm your friendly banker. You owe my pound of flesh and let your bonuses grow. No trips, no illusions, just twists and turns. Here, take my hand. Now all your bridges are burnt. I'm gonna hide in my kitchen from the man at the door. With my head in my feel the bells hit the floor. Now my job has been taken by men from the east, and I know what they're saying, but I am what I eat. And I was awkwardly mobile, life's ringing tell. There's only one way down from the top of the hill. Don't you see? There's only one winner. It's gonna be me. kitchen from the man at the door. With my head in my hands, I feel the bells hit the floor. Now my job has been taken by a man from the east, and I know what they're saying, that I am what I eat. And I was a poorly mobile, I'm ringing still. There's only one way down from the top of a hill. Oh, there's only one way down, one way down, one way down from the top of a hill. Oh, there's only one way down, one way down from the top of a hill. Yeah, 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 yeah. Whoa, business is business. Whoa, business is business. Yes, all business is business. Yeah, business is business. I want your money, that's what I want. I want your money, yeah, yeah. I want your money, that's what I want. I want your money, yeah, yeah. I want your money, that's what I want. I want your money, yeah, yeah. I want your money, that's what I want. I want your money, yeah,
you go.
And I shan't take it too personally. What? As soon as I work for a bank during the day.
Well, I would say it's just a take on how things are.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, I think there's a few people that agree with you there. And yes, most people do hate Zoe. Yeah. So that's the way it is. Oh. So, we're saying Steve Jack and Paul Grimm in the studio. Vocals and guitar and harmonica. Paul, have you got a harmonica over there?
Yeah, I've got one here.
Can you demonstrate that for us, please? It's in a safety case at the moment.
It is, yes.
That's difficult to get out.
It is.
Isn't it expensive?
There you go.
One harmonica. Now we're missing Terry Clark, bass guitarist, and also Carl Sykes.
Terry Clark.
That's, I think that's what I said.
Did you? I thought you said Terry.
Yes, I thought you said Terry Clark.
Well, I read Terry, even if I didn't say it. So
there you go.
Definitely Terry's on my bit of paper that you gave me earlier.
Yes.
And then Carl Sykes, congas and percussion. See, I can't say percussion.
Yeah.
But so obviously bass is normally quite an important bit because Zoe likes to pretend she can play bass. Right.
I used to years and years ago. My nails are too long now, though.
But so how do you work it when you're all on stage together? Do you tend to fight your way to the front and leave the two at the back?
No. I mean, really.
Well, Paul and I, we sit down these days. We both have Valdunican stools.
Yes.
Well, it's when you reach the rocking chair and cardigan stage, you have to worry, isn't it? So that's the next step on.
It is.
And then, of course, we got the congas at the back. Carl plays congas. We'd made a decision a few years ago that we didn't particularly want a full-out drummer. Carl is actually a drummer, you see.
But you have to move a drum kit as well, which isn't
good.
Well,
yes, you do. Of course, you know, these drummers are Tangaround musicians, which I shouldn't really say. But the thing is with congas is that it's very versatile anyway. I mean, he plays them extremely well. He plays them extremely loud. But he also has a snare drum that he plays, his cymbals and things, and we're trying to get him to add a bit more so that it augments that
so
area.
It's almost a drum kit.
It's not quite.
So, but how does that differ from the studio sound then? Because I suppose you can do all sort of whatever you want.
The first CD, we got we had a guy called John Ingwheel, and he came in and he was a really good drummer, and he did a lot of stuff with us. And
And then on the second one, we'd really meant just to have congas, and then we got halfway through the CD and realised that we
wanted a bit more.
Yeah, we wanted a bit more.
So, I mean, some of the songs actually do lend themselves to, you know, more of a drum kit sound. Mm-hmm. But so we thought, well, why not? We'll just stick it on the CD. But
yeah,
when you're playing live, you know, congas is ample,
and it's enough to take the audience with you. And,
oh, absolutely!
And, and if there's a difference between the live and the CD, it's more reason to buy the CD.
Of course,
well, yeah. And of course, the other thing is that when somebody goes in and sees a band, you know, they just walk in, they see the microphones, they see the drum set, and that's it, and the amps.
Mm.
Whereas when they walk in to see us, it's a little bit different. They see the stools. I'll rephrase that. They see the seats.
Yes.
And then, of course, the microphones. And then we've got all my harmonicas. And we've
There's an array of harmonicas, are there?
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, wow.
There's an array. There's not tonight.
Not just the little one.
I'll put an S on the end of this list. Hang on a minute.
Harmonicas.
And of course, then we've got the congas at the back, and they look unusual. So it's a bit of a...
Draws the eye in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a bit different. Does. I mean, why should you be the same when you can be different?
Mm-hmm.
So it is all a bit different. So.
Now, I think it was last album, you were introduced by Tom Robinson on Six Music.
Yes.
Are you pushing this one in the way of the BBC?
Hopefully. Yeah. He'll be getting
anyone who listens.
Another one.
Yeah. And of course, there's, you know, you can actually with now the kind of computerized type of radio that you like Tom Robinson is on it, kind of iPlayer and what have you. And, sorry, not iPlayer, but he's on.
You can listen online as well as on DAB. Yeah.
Yes. So you can tell I'm not kind of versed in the way of these boxes.
You switch it on, music comes out. that's enough.
That's the one. That's it. Yes. I've still got my dance set. So you know, and of course, really, they can pick it up. They can find you as well, which is great, because obviously we'll be, hopefully this one we're going to be putting onto iTunes.
Yeah.
Which I have no idea what all that's about, but we're going to find.
Hopefully someone will be able to pick it up. But it's actually it's a physical
CD.
CD
oh, it is. As well.
I have a copy in my car, and I've actually listened to it in the car on the CD player. It's the first time I've used a CD player in my car. Because it's normally got the iPod stuck into the thing, so it's quite an honour for it, and it stayed there as well, which is quite good. Not only because I don't know where the eject button is, but it's well worth a listen. So I'm enjoying that. Right, you do another song.
Yeah, okay.
And we randomly select something else off the album for us. What's it going to be this time around?
We'll do Slow Down.
Slow Down.
Mid-album now. And do you think there's got a bit of a mid-album feel to it as well?
I would say a mid-album feel, yeah. So more or less halfway there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over to you.
Better color, it soothes my head. Give me a blanket full of sky. The sun and moon are shining, they're there to tell the time by the eye. Spoke to Jesus yesterday. We've lost the ball he calls religion, so we don't wanna play. Everyone's just running round. We've cut the heads off all the chickens, now they're falling down. Why don't we just slow down? Slow down. Standing still. Where this will end, we'll never know. A sugar rush is fine, but we need it all the time. So slow down, slow down. We gotta just slow down, slow.
Excellent. We'll be asleep by the end of the album song, won't
there's,
we?
There's some lively stuff coming, don't we? Don't worry.
Oh, no,
that
was lovely. No, I was drifting off.
Voice is going already.
Oh, dear, well, we're still going to continue making work. You've got another two tunes you're going to do for us. So get on the vocal zone and the water down there. That'll be good. I'm joined now on the line by John Fozzie Hendley, who's got a brand new book on the way out called 100 Pieces of Gold. John, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I've just been shifting some heavy furniture, so I'm just realising how unfit I am.
Well, you and me both, I think, but there we go. I remember, thinking back, I remember the days when you were doing the Travel Club videos for Wolves. You seemed to be endlessly on a sponsored diet.
Oh, yeah.
But those days have gone by the wayside.
Yeah, I'm old now, and I just don't care anymore.
That's it, yeah. Well, the ladies still love you, which is what counts.
Well, my little dog does, bless her, but that's about it.
So, it's that time of year when a book comes out by you, and it's always something to do with Wolves.
Yes, this is the third one, and it's of the three, I reckon it's the best one. It's certainly taken the most work.
Well, I have only seen a copy of it resting on your desk, which is the reason I knew that the book was out. And it's called 100 Pieces of Gold.
Yeah.
Tell us more then, because it's some of the best Wolves matches ever.
Well, what I've done, I've steered clear of saying the 100 greatest Wolves games, because I've not seen every Wolves game, so I don't know that, and that would be down to choice. And so I've just picked out games that either A, I've seen, or B, I've read about, and rather than calling them the greatest, just 100 great Wolves games.
Now, you've actually been to a fair few Wolves games. In fact, how many consecutive Wolves matches have you been to?
I'm up to 902.
Which isn't bad going, so that's without missing a single one.
Yeah, that's league and cup games. I mean, obviously you can't do all the friendlies. I've done 99% of the friendlies, but I don't count those because sometimes Wolves will play two friendlies at the same time and you can't be two places at once, so I just count league and cup games.
And do we think that is quite possibly a record?
No, I've got mates who've done more than that.
Yeah.
I've got one of the London Wolves supporters has done over 1,000 already. Yeah, I think he last missed a match in 1976 or something like that. So, no, it's just for my own personal, you know, I started off and thought I'd love to do 1,000 on the trot and another couple of seasons, hopefully.
And you will be there?
Hopefully.
I can't see any reason why not.
Well, there's been some close calls. I remember getting to QPR once and the car broke down. I was travelling with Lorraine Hennessy, my boss at the time, and a car broke down on the outskirts of London, and by the time the AA had been there and repaired it, we got to the ground with 6 minutes to spare. 6 minutes of the game left.
Oh, right, but you still saw the game.
So I still got to the ground, I still saw 6 minutes of the game, so I still counted it.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty hairy getting there. I mean, she wanted to turn back and go home, but I said, no, no, it's going to break me sequence. So.
And that, you must have only been, well, thinking back to when Lorraine was with the club, you were probably only on, what, about 500 matches at that point, was it?
Probably not that far, without checking, but it was a goalless draw, an evening game, and it was a goalless draw at the QPR. It was around 1998, because I know Steve Claridge was playing for us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's around that time.
So, of the 100 pieces of gold you've selected, how many of those games have you been to?
Ooh, now you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I'd say a good third of them. Probably a bit more than that. Heading towards half.
And you say this is going to be that being the hardest book to write. I should think there's been a lot of research to make sure you've got the right story about each of the games, because I know what you're like.
Yeah, well, you have to, obviously. I've used newspaper reports, and of course, at the time, especially in the 50s, there were no television replays, etc. So the journalist just had to report on what he saw. And sometimes I've had two reports, one from, say, the Sporting Star and one from the Sports Argus, and they've got differing, you know, Johnny Hancock's crossed the ball for so-and-so's goal, or Dennis Wilshaw crossed the ball. So then you have to research even further to find out who it actually was. So that sort of thing, because I do like it to be right, because it's amazing the amount of people that love to find a mistake and love to come and wave it under your nose, you know. So mm-hmm. We all make mistakes in life.
Yep, that's the way it tends to go. But yeah. If you reduce that as far as possible, everybody's happy. Well,
yeah.
Apart from the people who want to poke fun. And they're always ones. It's good to get their backs up. So when your selection criteria was in place, how did you approach this? Was it by a scoreline, maybe attendance, that sort of thing? How did it work? Was
well,
it
mainly scoreline, but the games that I remember seeing did not necessarily sort of scoreline if they were good games. For instance, the recent one was the 3-2 win at West Ham just before we were promoted, and season before we were promoted, and Sylvain Ebanks-Blake scored that wonderful goal where he nutmegged the guy and cut in from the byline. Everybody thought he was going to cross, and he just hammered it into the far corner. It's a tremendous goal. But it was a great, not just because of that goal, it was a great match as well. End-to-end stuff. West Ham equalised in injury time, and then even deeper into injury time, Carl Henry, in front of all the Wolves fans, hit the winner. So I picked that one. I mean, another recent one was the 3-3 draw with Spurs at Molineux when Jermaine Defoe hit two tremendous goals for Spurs, but we kept plugging away and got the equaliser we deserved in the end of 3-3 draw. And the other end of the spectrum, I started with the very first league game against Aston Villa in 1888. There aren't too many pre-war games because reports were quite, well, obviously it's difficult to get hold of
reports. These things don't survive.
They're quite sketchy, but mm-hmm. I think there's about 10 pre-Second World War games. But there's a plethora of games from the 50s, obviously, because they were the club's great years.
Mm-hmm. And how does the format of the match report take? I mean, have you got a list of the teams who played?
Well, what I do, I sort of started off by looking at who's injured, who's missing from the previous game, where Wolves were in the league, where the opposition was, perhaps, and then talk about the game itself as a report, and finish off with the both teams, the attendance and the referee. The only referee I couldn't get was from that very first match in 1888 against Aston Villa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the Wolves archive, they've got the actual match card from the game, but there's no referee listed. And all the newspaper reports I've checked, there was no referee listed. So that's the only stat that's missing.
But other than that, the complete history on 100 of those matches. And what spurred you on? What gave you the idea for this one?
I've always wanted to do it. I've always wanted to write 100 great Wolves games. It's just something I've had in the back of my mind for quite some time. And I actually wrote down 300 games, and when I first started, and I had to whittle it down to 100.
Because even in 100, it is a big book. It is a good-sized hardback book that you've got on sale.
224 pages, and then there's 8 pages of some superb photographs. Black and white and colour. I actually got hold of, bought it off eBay, a picture from the 1908 Cup Final, which I hadn't seen before. A superb picture, which I've used in the book. And there's even a colour picture from that Wolves-Spurs game from a couple of years ago that I was talking about. There's a colour picture from that in.
Mm-hmm.
But a lovely one of Johnny Hancock's, scoring a goal in the second minute against Huddersfield in the mid-50s in the snow. You know, nowadays the game would be abandoned or postponed. But
not back then. It's on sale. Where can you get it? I'm guessing the Wolves Club Shop for starters.
Yeah, yes, it's available in the club shop. both at Molyneux and in town, and all the major bookshops should have it in locally as well, but obviously if you can get it from the club shop, that helps the club, doesn't it?
It does. You can probably buy it from the online megastore as well.
Yes, indeed.
So you can get it that way. And if people are maybe a little further afield or used to shopping on Amazon, are you available on there?
It's available on Amazon, yeah.
And your other books as well? Do you want to just give us a rundown on those? Because I assume there are a few copies left, maybe on the second or third print
run. Well, I was reminded in HMV. I was devastated.
No, really? You know you've made it when you've been reminded, though.
The first one was called The Wolves Miscellany, which has got all quirky facts and figures through the years and reports of the every time we promoted or won the FA Cup. That's detailed. It's mainly to do with quirky facts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did the Wolves Day by Day, which goes right through from January the 1st to December the 31st, with the games that Wolves played on those particular days, or events, you know, transfers or people leaving, people joining, managers being sacked, managers being appointed.
So except HMV, they're available in all good outlets.
Yeah, you can get them again off Amazon, Wolves Miscellany, or the Wolves on this day.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always good to see a new book from you, and it's particularly brightly coloured artwork on this one.
Yeah, I was pleased with it. The Pitch Publishing have done the book, obviously. They did the artwork. I sent the pictures to them. There's a lovely picture on the back cover of the team at High Level Station, post-war, waiting to catch a train, and they've all got these heavy overcoats on. They've done a really nice collage of for the cover. I'm really pleased with it. It looks good.
And if people want to get a copy and get it signed, though, what do they have to do?
Well, just come to Molyneux and ask for me.
You'll pop in and sort it out. I do like, you're accessible, which is
I'm
nice.
Very accessible, yeah. Well, though, why people would want my autograph, I don't know.
I think next time they see it in a reminder. No, they won't see it in a reminder.
No.
I think that's cool. It's always nice to get your book's autographed, particularly when it's something like a history. It's not only I'm writing a book for money, I'm writing a book because I actually am passionate about what I'm writing about, and we know that's the case with you.
Yes, indeed.
Well, your writing is all over the world already and is now going to be, once again, a fantastic Christmas gift for the Wolves fan in your life.
I do hope so.
And it is. And I probably use this phrase quite a lot because it is just the sort of thing that you want to be given as a gift to all supporters at this time of year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good luck with the sales.
Thank you.
And we look forward to maybe on next year. Any other ideas in the pipeline?
I have, but I'm going to have a couple of years off because it's taken 6 months of the spare time in my life. And I mean all the spare time.
Mm-hmm.
You get home from work and have a bite to eat, and then you have to get the laptop out and start.
And the thing is, it's exactly the same as being at work because it's all the same subject.
Yeah,
and again,
yeah.
As I know you love it, but that still makes it a bit like hard work and doesn't give you much chance to switch off.
Well, even when I went on holiday down to Devon in June, I stopped at I've got a couple down there who've got a cottage in this little village in just outside Totnes, and their garden is just a huge garden. It just backs onto fields and a flowing stream, and I spent all the daytime while I was down there a week in their veranda, which was a beautiful view, the door open, a couple of cans of beer, just working. So next year, in my spare time, I'm going to have a decent holiday and just chill out for a bit, and in a couple of years' time, I've got another idea. I'll probably do another one then.
So it's a case of watch this space and see what you get.
Yeah.
Foss, as ever, always good to speak to you.
Pleasure, Jason.
And we'll catch up with you again soon. Bye for now.
Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's have some more music from the band, Jason.
Yeah, Remnant's still with us. What have you got for us this time around, Steve?
This is
Paul's going to tell us.
I
like today. Yeah. You're looking at the wrong one.
I know. Well, this
a day like today.
A day like today, yeah.
Yeah, this is.
Should we just ignore him and you tell us?
Yeah, we can both say it. A day like today.
A day. When it's raining cats and dogs and the wind just trashed your hair, and you join a traffic queue but you know you're going to wear, and you want to call a friend and you just forgot the phone,
you drive 100 miles just to find no one's at home. But on a day like today, yeah, yeah. On a day like today, yeah, yeah. On a beautiful day just like today, we're gonna blow the blues away. Everybody understands it, but you just can't see. Then you buy a ticket just to find it's all for free. Step up on a ladder and you got no bottom rung. And all the songs you've written, they're the ones that have been sung. But on a day like today, yeah, yeah. Day like today, yeah, yeah. On a beautiful day just like today, we're gonna blow the blues away. We get so close that we can't see. Like this, just don't let it be. Did you have that second drink? There's a problem looming, and it's sooner than you think. Got no invitation, so you're sitting all alone. You make a second journey, but there's still no one at home. But on a day like today, yeah, yeah. On a day like today, yeah, yeah. On a beautiful, wonderful, glorious day, we're gonna blow the blues away.
Excellent. See, told you got quicker again. Remnants. Well, it's the bit of them we have in the studio. And, oh, that's an interesting noise. I've left you switched on. So,
yes, sorry.
You're twanging things over there. So, Paul, we will talk to you rather than Steve this time because we're going to talk Gaily Pottery.
Right, okay.
And the run-up to Christmas is on its way. And this is your chance to get a locally made Christmas gift, isn't it? I think it's a full sales
fab,
pitch.
Yes, don't
been,
they,
I've been at Gaily. Which is just down the Stafford Road. It's very easy to get to. It's on the way to Stafford. It's in between Telford and Cannock. It's the crossroads A449 A5.
Spread Eagle Pub.
Spread Eagle Pub over
the
road. Dobby's Garden Centre over the road. Mm. Everything's there. And I'm in the old church on the corner. It's a little old church that I bought about 30 years ago and turned into a pottery studio. and I make pottery there. I've been making it there for 30 years, and I used to export it all around the world, sell it up and down the country. And recession after recession, as times have quietened down for me now, I sell most of my work from there. I still deal with galleries, craft shops and the like, but I sell most of my stuff from there. And people come from miles around just to actually, they have commissions, they buy what I've got. And there's a showroom there. And we were just saying, you know, before we came up, that the trouble is that people are always looking for something different. They're always, people are always,
and there is nothing different in the shops this year, I can tell you that much.
There is nothing different. And of course, Wolverhampton, Cannock, Telford, Stafford, even just that small catchment area, have got my place. Mm-hmm. And they could all, anybody could come down.
You'll happily sell something to them, won't you?
Well, yeah, happily, yes. Yeah. And there's lots there for people to choose. And I've got stuff there from £2 or £3 up to £200 or £300 right the way through. And I've got one or two at Christmas as well. I invite, because obviously I've got a lot of friends who are potters as well, and up and down the country. And I invite them to send a few pieces down as well. And we just finished, it's a pity I wasn't here a couple of weeks ago, because I've just finished the what we class as our Christmas open weekends. And that kickstarts me into the Christmas thing. If I didn't do that, I probably wouldn't get the place sorted out properly. But I send out invitations. People come down, and you know, we get people from Birmingham, Leicester, you know, Coventry, and they just love coming down because it's a fabulous building. It's got a fabulous atmosphere, and nobody pesters you. You come in, have a look around. You know, it's usually warm, hopefully, and you know, they can talk to me. You know, I don't bite. I don't walk up to them as soon as they come in and saying, you know, expect them to buy something.
Well, you'd normally be busy making stuff as well, aren't
you?
Well,
yes, of course, yes. And they can see that. They can see. And I can tell them all about the work we've got there. We've got a retro area of studio pottery that's of people like Troika and Kahn and Celtic and all these companies that have gone out of business over the years. And we've got a kind of retro area because there's a big collective. There's a big movement on collecting things now, and one of the things is ceramics. A lot of people do actually buy it. So we've got this retro area.
Well, you're
and,
up 7 days a week at the minute.
Yeah, at the moment.
Busy time for
that's
you.
Up until Christmas.
Yeah, so 9:30 through till 4:30 weekday. Saturdays 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. Sundays midday until 4 p.m. Yeah. But a bit of a line on Sunday.
Yeah, and also if people are coming from a bit of a distance. And they, you know, a lot of people go past us and drop in, and that's fair enough. If I, you know, if I should be just popping down the road to get a sandwich or doing whatever, you know, then I might not be there immediately. We usually leave something on the door to say we'll be back in a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good place to go to. Christmas time, it's a great place to be, and you know, people looking for something different, it's the answer for them.
Because you more like to find something exclusive as well, aren't you? Because you're not going to be able to mass produce
I mean, we don't.
Oh, you can mass produce if you want him to.
If I want to, because I mean, obviously, years ago, obviously I used to sell stuff. I use the Royal We now because I used to have. I have two or three people working for me down there, but it's just me there now. It always seems much bigger when you talk about weed, doesn't it? And I used to export out to Australia, the Far East, America, and of course we had to do bigger runs, but it was never actually what your class is mass produced.
No.
Everything that we do down there, everything that I do, is actually handmade by me and nobody else. So it's not cast.
You don't get that very often, do you?
No, you don't.
But you do have themes, like things like your boat range.
You've got a range of things. I mean, each year there's usually something else that comes in. I mean, we've got this range of owls. I mean, people have got this big thing about owls. And that started off with a lady who came in and gave me a commission. She said, would you make an owl for a friend of mine who, you know, likes owls?
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed making it, so I started making other ones as well, different types. And of course, they become a range, they become something that you do so people know that. And of course, owls are something that people like collecting, which unusually, or frogs, or dogs, or boats, or it doesn't
everyone
matter
has
what it
a
is.
Taste, yeah.
Yes,
so you can cater for that,
yes, of course, yes. But the thing is, as well, what I do, because I'm what they class as a jobbing potter, I've been doing some ridge tiles for a company where they realised that if the ridge tiles that they had on the top of a building, if they tried to make a small porch, they were that big, they looked wrong lower down, so they had me to make some smaller ones. And recently, our bass guitarist in the band, he works for a chemicals company, and I've just made him special frames in high-fired porcelain so that they can test carbon fibre.
It's all a bit different, then.
So it's, you know,
no
so,
one wants one of those for Christmas, though.
So, no. You want one of those.
Well, if you do want to get in touch, Old Church Studios, Watling Street, Gailey, Staffordshire, ST19 5PR, the all-important sat-nav postcode. And does that work, your sat-nav postcode?
Well, yeah, so something like that. It usually gets you to Gailey.
It's close enough.
Yeah, and then you can see the church. Yes.
And if you want to call the studio first, 01902 790078, and just make sure that you're going to be there and not gallivanting off down the corner shop.
Yes.
True.
Right, let's have some more music then. Put you back to work.
Yes.
What have you got this time around? Steve can answer this question.
Yes, I shall answer this one. Yeah. Well, we're coming up with the festive season, so we thought we'd do Dance Till New Year's Day.
I mean, all the songs that we do, all the songs obviously on the CD, and all the songs that we record are our own stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all original stuff. It's all original stuff, so which is great.
When we play live, though, we do covers. I mean, not covers as in...
You're not doing any Kylie?
No.
Kylie.
That's a shame.
That'd be quite good to see.
I'd like to see hear you do Lady Gaga, actually, if you could sort that out next time you come in.
Well,
that'd
maybe we can sort something out next time we come in.
Brilliant. Yeah, anyway, we can listen to Dance Till New Year's Day now, we'll be sensible and listen to that.
The time of our lives.
time of our life. We had the time of our life when we danced to New Year's Day.
Excellent.
That was lovely.
And playing live all of those tunes today, Remnants. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right. Okay, give us the web address and stuff.
The web address.
Yeah.
Well, actually, at the moment, the
Have you broke it?
The website is all over the place. So
it is.
We've got Facebook. You look for Remnants on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have.
Oh, great.
Yeah. That's good. And that's probably the best way to find us at the moment. If anybody would be interested in any of the the CD. Mm-hmm. There's a phone number on the back. Two phone numbers on the back there.
On the back of the CD. Wow,
landline and a mobile.
Yeah, it's strange enough. It looks a bit like the Pottery phone number as well.
Not, is it?
Yes, 01902 790078 or the band mobile on 07814 255 377.
That's it.
Yep. You can do it that way. And you can remember those.
No.
And give us the website for the pottery then.
Sorry. The website of the pottery is gaelicpottery.co.uk.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And also I'm on Facebook as well for the pottery. So if anybody wants to find out about all the pottery, then the Facebook site is the best way to go. Look for Gaelic Pottery or Paul Goodrum Ceramics as well. So it's obviously different.
Yeah, clearly.
But yes,
I've no idea how, but okay.
But yeah, obviously the actual company is Paul Goodrum Ceramics.
Yeah.
And a lot of people know me as Paul Goodrum because from years ago when I used to sell a lot of stuff under Paul Goodrum, funny enough, when I moved to Gailey, it actually became Gailey Pottery because people used to say, oh, it's that pottery at Gailey.
Yeah.
And it became Gailey Pottery. Paul Goodrum Ceramics, I didn't know. So it worked like that. So
you just use your celebrities in some people's eyes.
Well, that's
others,
it, yes.
It's Gailey they want to visit. Okay. Right. Well, before we say goodbye and throw you back out, we're going to take a little listen to an interview that we did last week with Rose Cook about a DVD. Now, Zoe, you at this point weren't even in the studio, were you?
No.
Well, we're now joined by Rose Cook, who's got a brand new DVD out. It's called And Then Came Munich, looking at the life of Duncan Edwards. Rose, hello.
Hello, Jason. Hi.
How are you?
Really well, thank you. Are you?
I'm good, Tar. Now, Zoe.
Yeah.
What do you know about Duncan Edwards? This is a test for you.
Oh, dear. If it's football, not very much, I'm afraid.
Rose, can you explain to Zoe, please?
Absolutely. Duncan Edwards has been described as the world's greatest footballer. He came from Dudley in the West Midlands, and he was one of the Busby babes that played for Manchester United and the great Matt Busby. And he very sadly died from these injuries at the Munich air crash in February 1958.
There's been a number of documentaries over the years. In fact, there was one quite high profile one either earlier this year or last year, which looked at the whole of the story surrounding the Munich air crash. But in this DVD, you're very much following the life of just Duncan and focusing, aren't you?
Absolutely, yes. Duncan, as I say, is from Dudley, which is my hometown. And I think everybody in Dudley has heard of Duncan's name, but not necessarily knew his story. So this very much concentrates on the young lad that Duncan was and his climb through the ranks of English football.
So who have you been able to get content from to bring this whole project together?
This was actually made quite a few years ago, but I've re-released it because next year is the 55th anniversary of the Munich air crash. So it's just a re-release, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I have, you know, some of the greats of English football in there. Bobby Charlton, Nat Lofthouse, Tom Finney, Sir Walter Winterbottom, Derek Kevin, who played for West Bromwich Albion. Some of the real greats are there, so it was a real honour to be able to do it.
And how long did it take to pull that sort of thing together?
It took just over a year, really. I was a historian on the Town Centre Forum and took the idea to them, and they wasn't really interested in doing it, so I got the funding myself. It took me a year to get the funding, and that was just by going around the Chamber of Commerce and Federation of Small Businesses and groups like that, just giving talks about Duncan, and I got the funding myself.
Well, well done on that one. Well done on the product. And
Thank you. You
actually did a relaunch down at the Black Country Museum last week.
I did indeed, yeah. I gave a talk about him and showed the film. And it always goes down really well. I've been on cruise ships and travelled the world talking about Duncan. But yeah, the relaunch was at the Black Country Museum last week, as you said, and it's gone really well and it's back on sale. So hopefully in time for the Christmas market.
Yeah, what makes him so special to be remembered so long after the accident?
I think it's the tragedy of it all. He was at the time the youngest person to be signed for England. I mean, that's been overtaken now, but at the time he was the youngest person to be signed for England, and he was only 21, and he was a huge powerhouse of a lad, you know. He sort of towered above grown men, and he wasn't a great goal scorer or anything, but he was a great all-rounder, and he was somebody that was very much in the forefront of the team. Everybody could rely on Duncan, and as I say, he was just a great all-rounder.
It's available now, $14.99. Is it purely by mail order now, or is, I think the Black Country Museum are taking orders, but is it available elsewhere too?
Yes, it's available at the Black Country Bugle Shop, which is in Cradley Heath High Street, or you can contact me via my email address and we can do it by mail order for you.
Brilliant. What's your email address?
My email address is rosecook, and it's cook without an E. So it's rosecook69@hotmail.co.uk.
And you can get in touch that way and get your copy in the post and in plenty of time for Christmas if it's a sort of thing that's just going to be a good gift for someone in your family who...
Football
fan who enjoys this sort of thing. And particularly, I mean, with the anniversary on the way, it is even more poignant than ever, isn't it?
It is indeed. Or someone that's just got a general interest in history as well, because it is a nostalgic look back, and there's lots of Pathé newsreel going back to the 50s. So, yeah, it is. I'm really proud of it.
Excellent, and so you should be. So congratulations again, and the re-release is based on the fact that there's a demand there for it and the quality product, which is the important part.
Yeah, the demand has never really gone away. People do want to look back and they do want to remember, so yeah.
Rose, lovely to speak to you. Thank you for joining us, and good luck with the sales. Give us that email address one more time.
Okay, it's rosecook69@hotmail.co.uk.
Cheers. Ta-ra for now.
Thank you.
So there we go. That's the end of this week's show. Once again, thank you, lads, for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been good. Thanks for sharing the music.
It's been lovely with the live music.
Yeah, with the live music from the album "Songs from the Backyard." I don't think we mentioned the album title until now, but "Songs from the Backyard" is the
track. Do me a copy of that, Jason. Or should I buy it?
You can go and buy it, I'd have thought, but that tends to be how it works.
I have some in my bag.
Ooh.
How much are they?
There are
five.
There we go. So you've got some cash on you. We can sort that out. But thank you for coming in. Good to hear the music. Really
cheers.
Enjoyed it today.
Cheers.
And Zoe, episode 180 next week?
Yes, I shall try my very best. I'm going to try for a darts commentator so we can do the special 180 for us.
You have a go.
I think there was the one that used to do it quite a lot, who I remember. I think he's passed away, so we might have to find someone else.
The only one I can name is probably dead. Yeah. Anyway, so back to the plot. Back with next week's show, and we shall see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.